Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the premier worship conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
I think we are talking about a moral issue. We do not want to leave our children and our grandchildren with a worse economy and a much harder life than we are enjoying. To borrow without limit and without thinking how we are going to pay this back seems to me stupid and immoral.
We need to get our fiscal house in order, but not on the backs of the poor and the hungry. They didn't get us into this current mess, and hurting them is not the way out of it.
Those of us who are Christians are bound by Jesus' command to protect the least of these the most. So we ask, what would Jesus cut?
Well, the big question in Washington, D.C. right now, and it will be probably for the next month, at least until the deadline of August 2, the news I heard this morning was that the government runs on deadlines, and this may be the first time in American history when the deadline for the debt ceiling will actually have to be crossed before a solution is found. Now, there's a story we're going to be playing it for you here in just a minute. There's a story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly called A Moral Budget that asks the question, and it's a question that I want you to answer for me here for the first half hour of this hour of Issues Etc. during Open Lines. Is there a Christian position on the U.S. debt ceiling? Should it be raised? Should it be left where it is? Should there be more taxes levied against whom? Or should we cut, cut, cut? What do we do about the debt? Is there a Christian position on the U.S. debt ceiling that will need to be raised before August 2nd? Or there's going to be, well, big trouble. The government will run out of money, won't be able to pay its bills unless it can borrow more. What do you think about that? Audio open lines for the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, the 5th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with you and open lines, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will join us to talk about the ouster of Robert Schuller Sr. from the Crystal Cathedral. He has been voted off the board. He didn't want to change some things. His daughters, who are officially in charge of the Hour of Power and the Crystal Cathedral, did want to change something, and he didn't get reelected to the board of his own ministry that he has been in charge of and founded decades ago. This marks a turning point in this ministry. We'll see what Chris Roseborough has to say about that in about 25 minutes here on Issues Etc. In the meantime, open lines, your answer to the question, is there a Christian position on the U.S. debt ceiling, raising it, leaving it where it is? What's the solution? Is there a Christian solution to the problem of $14.3 trillion of U.S. debt? 1-877-623-6943. That's our call-in number. 1-877-623-MYIE. You can send us an answer to the question via email right here in the studio. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page and answer the question, is there a Christian position on raising the U.S. debt ceiling? Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, I want you to listen to this story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on a moral budget. Ask yourself the question and get ready to answer the question, is there a Christian position on all of this, on taxes, on cutting spending, on raising the U.S. debt ceiling? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
We have a report today on the moral choices involved in the intense negotiations underway in Washington over what to do about the country's $14.3 trillion debt. If the debt ceiling is not raised by August 2nd in just 1 month, the Treasury Department says for the first time in American history, the government will not have enough money to meet all its obligations. The administration wants Congress to raise the debt ceiling so the government can borrow more to pay those bills. But many members of Congress say they want first a believable long-term plan to reduce the deficit. So far, there's no agreement on such a plan, so the debt limit remains, and so does the countdown to default. All over Washington, from Congress to the White House, among the K Street lobbies, at the think tanks, and at scores of conferences and panels, experts are trying to solve the problem. One experienced voice has been that of retired Republican Senator Alan Simpson of Wyoming. He was the co-chair of last year's special presidential commission on the debt.
If we don't get a plan out of this by August 2nd, then hang on tight.
And hang on tight implies what?
It implies inflation. It implies the people who are going to loan us money want more interest for it. It'll be a different lifestyle for Americans, and inflation will eat through the system, and the little guy will be the guys most hammered.
If we don't raise the debt limit, we would probably have a crash in the markets, and it would be very serious.
Brookings Institution economist Alice Rivlin headed the budget offices at both Congress and the White House.
I think we are talking about a moral issue. We do not want to leave our children and our grandchildren with a worse economy and a much harder life than we are enjoying.
There's no mystery about the cause of the debt problem. As the number of older Americans has gone up, so have the costs of the so-called entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. New medical technology drives up health care costs, and two wars have gone unpaid for. It's estimated that the war in Afghanistan is costing nearly $120 billion this year.
To borrow without limit and without thinking how we are going to pay this back seems to me stupid and immoral.
Well, we'll come back to the story from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on a moral budget. My question for you, what should we do? Does the Bible have anything to say about this? Is there a Christian position on the U.S. debt ceiling? Should we borrow more? That would mean raising the ceiling. Should we tax more? Should we cut more? Is there a Christian position? They're warning those who are in a position to know about how things are likely to go if we don't raise the debt ceiling. They're warning that inflation could eat through the economy, that there could be a crash of the markets. So they say we need to do a little of both. We need to tax. We need to cut. But cut what? Does the Bible have anything to say about all of this? Is there a Christian position on raising the debt ceiling? I want your answer to that question. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. We are coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 5th of July. You can leave your answer. We've left some space for you at our Facebook fan page to the question, is there a Christian position on raising the debt ceiling? Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
For Simpson, there's also the problem of selfishness.
Well, don't blame it on all in Congress. Blame it on the American people who sent people to Washington to bring home the bacon. And the way you got reelected, you just went and got it for them. And now the pig is dead. There's no more bacon to bring home.
Solving the debt problem is not only an economic and political challenge. The crisis raises basic philosophical and moral questions about the kind of government and society Americans want. Last April, the conservative majority in the House of Representatives passed a budget for next year proposed by the chair of its budget committee, Paul Ryan. He outlined his plan to the American Enterprise Institute.
This budget begins by lowering taxes, with a top individual and corporate tax rate capped at 25%, so we can get real growth and economic competition in America.
And then?
It cuts $6.2 trillion in spending from the president's budget over just the next 10 years. It is not just a budget, it is a cause.
The conservative cause of reducing the size of government. Michael Gerson, a former White House speechwriter, is a columnist for The Washington Post.
I think it's fair to say that conservatives are not just interested in a balanced budget. They want a limited government, which is a smaller government, a less expansive government. That's really a conservative argument here, that that too much government undermines the independence and responsibility of citizens.
The Ryan budget drew sharp criticism from many in the religious communities, among them former Congressman and Ambassador Tony Hall.
We need to get our fiscal house in order, but not on the backs of the poor and the hungry. They didn't get us into this current mess, and hurting them is not the way out of it.
Jim Wallace is the editor of Sojourners magazine.
Those of us who are Christians are bound by Jesus' command to protect the least of these the most. The most. So we ask, what would Jesus cut?
The two chairmen of the Catholic Bishops' Committees on Domestic and International Justice wrote Congress expressing their serious concern. So did 75 scholars, most of them at the Catholic University of America. Sister Simone Campbell, executive director of the Catholic Social Justice Lobby Network, says she and others oppose the House budget because it doesn't seem to reflect Catholic social teaching.
The essence of Catholic social teaching is that it's based on the dignity of the human person, that we all hold dignity because we're created by God, that together in society we hold shared responsibility for each other. Government's role then becomes to ensure that the least are cared for. That's why it's so chilling to us to watch what's going on in Congress about the budget. It's the very safety net programs that the current budget fight is targeting. And to me, this is wrong. It, quite frankly, is immoral.
And now I want to hear from you. When we come back, we'll hear more from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on the story of a moral budget. Is there a Christian position on raising the debt ceiling, on taxes, on what to cut? Should we be asking, what would Jesus cut? We'll be right back.
If you don't want to pay some,
we know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Issues, Etc., regular guests, Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
At SteadfastLutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
I think moral motivations in politics are very important. But when you claim that your own views somehow have a divine sanction, you've cut off all political argument.
The essence of Catholic social teaching is based on the dignity of the human person, because we're created by God. That together in society, we hold shared responsibility for each other. Government's role then becomes to ensure that the least are cared for. That's why it's so chilling to us to watch what's going on in Congress about the budget. And to me, this is wrong. It, quite frankly, is immoral.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 minutes of open lines for your answer to the question, is there a Christian position on raising the debt ceiling? Our call-in number live this Tuesday afternoon, July the 5th, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can answer the question, is there a Christian position on the U.S. debt ceiling? Should we borrow more, tax more, cut more? What does the Bible have to say about this, if anything? Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Up first, Chris in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Chris, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, you're stealing from generations that aren't even born yet, and there's a million, at least a trillion dollars worth of cuts, which haven't even been attempted. And Jesus said to look out for our brothers, but he also said it voluntarily. He didn't say that we should just give a blank check with no accountability.
So how would you summarize that by way of a Christian position on the debt ceiling?
That we should be, the government should be doing as little as possible, and it should be up to the individuals to be doing what the this Catholic group says we're supposed to be doing.
So would you, I mean, the story has already kind of outlined that the, you know, the math is pretty simple here. It's through a growing group of people, mainly elderly people now, who are coming in for their benefits of various, I guess you could call them entitlement programs or various government mm-hmm. programs, that is creating a ballooning deficit. Should we be cutting that? Is that what you're saying?
I believe that there should be means testing for some, a lot of these people that are receiving these. And that there are people that have incomes in excess of $50,000 a year who shouldn't be getting anything at all.
All right, Chris, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Michigan. Chris says there is a Christian position here. Let everybody kind of fend for themselves if they can. He says let's means test the entitlement programs, and if they're making more than 50 grand a year, they shouldn't get anything from the government, no matter what you paid into Social Security and all of the other things. You know, means testing should be, you know, there are a lot of people who've paid a lot in over their entire lives who are expecting it, not necessarily needing it, but they certainly are expecting it. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Is there a Christian position on the U.S. debt ceiling? 1-877-623-6943. Matt in New Jersey says excessive borrowing and spending is as sinful for a society as it is for a family. We fathers must not exasperate our children by leaving them bankrupt government, so as we selfishly demand health care and Social Security income as sacred rights. Now, it seems to go along with what Chris in Michigan had to say. Cut the entitlement programs. Now, that doesn't solve the current problem. That solves the future problem, which still leaves us with $14.3 trillion worth of debt. No cutting in the future is going to take care of that. It'll just keep it from growing any bigger. Jeremy in Elkton, Maryland says whether or not a Christian position can be found for the U.S. debt ceiling. He says not specifically, unless it is to say that we should not squander or waste the gifts God provides. Christians can take a position through voting, but cutting spending or raising taxes or a mixture of both has as little to do with justification by grace through faith. Jeremy, thanks for listening in Maryland. Nicholas in Woodhaven, Michigan says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's? And I guess that's kind of the question here when it comes to taxes and paying for various entitlements. What actually belongs to Caesar, or what can Caesar claim that we should give to them? Steve in Rochester, Minnesota says, thou shalt not steal, and the command against changing weights and measures, which is what the debasing of the dollar does in effect. So that would be his Christian position on the debt ceiling. Let's see what Joe in St. Louis has to say. Joe, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hi, Todd. I apologize. I'm a little late to the show here, so I don't know what you've hit on. But my struggle with this is the Bible isn't a political treatise. And I hesitate to say there's a Christian position. If I'm going to be forced into that, I've got to say, let the kingdom of the right hand inform how things ought to be in the kingdom of the left. But I wouldn't go so far as to call it a Christian position. And the bothersome part about the social gospel and the social justice and that kind of thing is that it's done at the barrel of a gun, okay? The government does it in a confiscatory manner, and if that's how they're going to balance the budget or raise taxes or raise the debt ceiling or basically spend money, that's how it's done at the barrel of a gun. And I seldom hear people who advocate that as a Christian position also talk about don't let them eat if they don't work. So I'm not hearing the flip side of the coin.
All right, Joe, thank you very much. Let's see what Phil in Kansas has to say. Hi, Phil.
Hello. Well, I hope I won't throw you too far off the topic here, but I would suggest there's two Christian positions here that relate to this whole discussion, and one is the fact that the church has been called the charity, and not as much the government. Maybe we wouldn't have these talks if the church stood up and said, we will do that which the government's currently doing. And the other one, even to throw you more further off, thing I never hear discussed in all this talk about increasing elderly people is the question of maybe the real trouble here is that we stopped having kids, both through abortion and through birth control, stopped having kids. And that's perhaps why these systems and these programs aren't working as they should.
Phil, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kansas, smartest listeners in radio. Yeah, I think the case can be made, a credible case can be made, that had we not exterminated the last generation and a half of Americans through elective abortion and had not kept so many of them being born through an aggressive use of elective contraception, we wouldn't have any trouble paying for anything right now. We'd have so many more people paying or having paid in. If you count Roe v. Wade, you'd have kids that are now 37, 38 years old. And they'd really be getting into their prime earning years, their prime tax-paying years, wouldn't they? Let's see. Jason in Cedar Park, Texas says, the hostage takers need to learn to compromise with their Democratic counterparts and make sure that not all the burden is put upon the poor and middle class. We need to do away with the Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthy. When he came into office, the deficit was somewhat manageable, $5.7 trillion. When he left, it was nearly $11 trillion due to lax regulation. And in the financial sector, our nation nearly fell into financial meltdown. President Obama made the right move with the bailout. That's Jason in Cedar Park, Texas. Not exactly an answer to the question whether there's a Christian position here, kind of a chronicle of how we got here. Miles in St. Louis says, Scripture requires honest weights and measures. Debasing the currency by deliberate inflation violates that. Now, you understand that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we're likely to get inflation. I mean, at least that's what former Senator Simpson said in the story. We're likely to get runaway inflation if we don't raise the debt ceiling. Miles goes on. He says, God demands and invites us to trust him above all things. Excessive social programs violate that by demanding that we trust the government above all. Well, they don't not necessarily demand that we trust the government. We are required to pay into those things. You don't have to trust it if you don't want to. And he says there's a moral credibility in a government that advocates abortion. Dittos to Jim Wallace. Liberal moral outrage is an outrage, says Miles in St. Louis. Thanks for your comments there, Miles. Laura in Washington says, I'm late listening too, but if the church was like the early church, then we would have all things in common and we would do what we think the government should do. We're working our heads off 14, 16 hours a day with no health insurance, and we are not making it, says Laura in Washington. You know, there are a lot of people who are working very hard and are not seeing the fruits of their labor. Now, I think a good point made here by several of our listeners need to be driven home as forcefully as we can here at the end. Have we created this problem by offering entitlements to each and every American, regardless of their income at whatever stage in life they are. Yes. Have we created this problem by fighting two wars for the last 14, 15 years that we haven't been able to pay for? Yes. Have we created this problem by the government out of control in the way it spends money and borrows money? Yes, we have. None of this would necessarily be a problem. We could have very generous government spending as they will if our population were larger, and our population would be many millions larger had we not been exterminating the people who deserve this protection for the last 35 plus years in elective abortion. Now, we'd have more people. We'd also have more sources of income and more sources of tax revenue. We might not even have to worry about raising taxes, but the die has been cast, and at the end of a long, bloody trail of abortion is also what we're facing economically as a country. One thing I think raised by one of our listeners, Miles, is very important for us Christians to remember. When August 2nd comes and goes, whether we raise the debt ceiling or leave it where it is, whether we raise taxes or leave them where they're at or drop them, whether we cut spending or raise spending, whatever the government decides to do, we do have a God who has called us to trust Him above all things. He provides what we have, not your employer, not the government. He provides all that we have. And whether inflation comes or the markets crash, God says we can still trust Him for the sake of Jesus Christ. When we come back, we'll talk about the ouster of Robert Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral. Chris Roseborough will be our guest. Stand your beg, steal your borrow. You beg, you steal your borrow.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600 or oakbrookgc.com.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is being pro-life anti-woman?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Some Democratic leaders hope to win the 2012 elections by painting the Republican Party as being anti-woman. This accusation is based on the fact that congressional Republicans support the defunding of Planned Parenthood. But two questions Democratic leaders need to answer are, if voting to defund Planned Parenthood makes you anti-woman, then what does that make the dozen or so Democrats who voted that way? And how is Planned Parenthood pro-woman when its employees have been caught protecting statutory rapists and those who prostitute young women? Voters deserve answers.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. For more about our work to mobilize and advance pro-life women in politics, visit our website at sba-list.org.